well accustomed to public speaking, so I the votes. But the most important welcome goes to Bishop Allen and to Sally, who's taking over from Malcolm, so thank you very much. Now we've got one or two special people here who we'd like to welcome. We'd like to welcome the Wilson family, whose parents have been so, so generous to us. Without their support, we couldn't have done half of what we're doing, what we've done. And actually, I would like to give them a round of applause. I think there's a recording, isn't there, of the service. Is that right, that we're going to send them? Is that correct? Well, there's something anyway. And there are one or two other people who are here. There's Robin and Andre, who used to live in the cottage here, and they've come down especially, and Robin in particular used to do so much to help us in the church. So Robin, it's lovely to see you, and Andre. And then the next thing I want to say is I want to thank our workers here, because without them, honestly, this couldn't have taken place. There's the flower people, I mean, they are beautiful. They're by Mary, Judy, Jules, who's somewhere at the back.
Jules is in the porch.
She, hello, Jules, thank you very much. There's Ed, who's got all your lovely bubbles together. There's Becky, who lives in the cottages, who's warming up some food and everything, that's painted the windows. And I'll hand over to you. Is there anything else I need to say?
I'm sure you've all noticed out in the garden enjoying the sunshine. Because of the treatment regime, she can't come indoors with us. It's not safe for her. So she wanted me to thank everybody who made this celebration possible on her behalf, because obviously she'd normally be standing here. Tricia and Beverly, who used to be church warden with me, are very sad they couldn't come today, but they're very sorry about it. That picture on the wall and on the back of the programme is of Mr. Watson, who built this building as a school and a lecture room for the poor of the area. We now, as Maggie has mentioned, still have some support from many generous people, which means that we're here 150 years later. I think that's all we need to say.
One very important thing. We have been sent
a lovely voicemail from Malcolm, who, you know, very, very sad that he can't be here. And it's going to be played.
Yeah. This is due to his mother having died while he was in South Africa. So Robin, I'm afraid you won't be able to catch up with him. Yes, she died while he was over there, and he sent this message.
Are you wanting it now? Okay.
Yes, please.
I'll just change the electronics a bit, we're fine.
He won't be there for tonight's service. I'm particularly sorry in light of having put together the sermon. Excited about what we were doing in terms of the service and the gathering. So please do convey to everyone, obviously my sincere sorrow of not being with you all tonight, but obviously I'm sure they understand that we're just having to deal with the things that obviously the deaths of loved ones bring. And please do pass on to all, and to Alex and all the others, my good wishes and thanks as well. And of course to Anne too, hopefully she's coping okay. We'll be here till the end of the week, in that with the funeral having taken place yesterday and it went very, very well, we're just now spending the next couple of days sorting out Mum's flat, and that we hope to have cleared by Wednesday or Thursday, so that by Friday when we fly back everything is taken care of, and we'll be back on Saturday ready to do the services on the 11th. So I'll be there to celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi. But thank you again for all your kind thoughts and your prayers, and if you'll pass on our love to everyone. We do so appreciate the support in light of the sudden turn of events on Tuesday. When we came to this country, there was no thought of this happening, I can tell you. Much love to you all. God bless.
So shall we sing our first hymn, which is 555? praise my soul, the King of Heaven.
Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
My brothers and sisters, let us ask God's help in preparing ourselves to celebrate the Holy Mysteries. Almighty God,
to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
God the Father forgives us in Christ and heals us by the Holy Spirit. Let us therefore put away all anger and bitterness, all slander and malice, and confess our sins to God our Redeemer. Almighty God,
our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you through our own fault, in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are heartily sorry and repent of all our sins. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name.
God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest.
Everlasting God, you have given to us, your servants, grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of the divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith that we may evermore be defended from all adversities through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The reading tonight is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 12 to 17, and then verses 27 to 31. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in balance? Who has measured the spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult, and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Thanks be to God.
Is your name in all the earth.
Jackson, even the wild bees of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever moves in the paws of the sea.
Number 205. Alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God who was, and who is, and who is to come, the Almighty.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Pray for me that I may speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Trinity Sunday is the Sunday when wise preachers get somebody else to do the sermon. Our hearts, of course, go out to Malcolm and Janet and all they've been through in South Africa. And it was absolutely brilliant to have a message from him at the start of our service. I'm sure we will be there for Malcolm over the difficult days ahead. It's a very big whole life thing, isn't it, when your mother dies? And the love and prayers of so many people in this benefice will be a great resource to the family, I'm sure, as they come back to the UK. Now, this is the most extraordinary multi-purpose church. They weren't invented in the 1960s. No, no, this was built for the poor. And I never noticed that until you restored that end. When it was all white, it didn't stand out. But now you can see it. And it says something really very clear about why Mr. Abraham put this building in the way he did. He wasn't after something narrowly ecclesiastical. He wanted there to be a church, a holy place, but he wanted it to bless everybody in this community. And of course, in that days, that would have included agricultural workers who couldn't read and write, a whole range of people, and he wanted this building to be theirs in a very particular way. A place to improve the mind, like the old reading rooms or working men's institutes. And of course, a place to worship God. That very broad gauge vision is a very important part of what this place is about. And it just looks extraordinary, actually, seeing that end properly restored after all these years. I know it takes a lot of looking after. 1873 was a very important year for new beginnings. There were massive changes going on at the time, especially about the position of women in Victorian society. It was changing very fast. By 1882, they got to a point where a married woman ceased to be her husband's movable property and was allowed to own a property in her own right, the Married Women's Property Act. And what lay behind that fundamental change in the definition of marriage, before that you became your husband's property, had been given to your husband by your father. After 1882, that was no longer the case. And women were allowed to have bank accounts, they were allowed to own property in their own right. They didn't need to have special legal arrangements to be able to inherit. So very fundamental changes were going on in a most extraordinary way. In 1873, as this place was being built, Girton College moved from Hitchin to Cambridge, and for the first time women were allowed to have a Cambridge education. Quite incredibly, women weren't allowed to take Cambridge degrees until 1948, but that's another story. The vision that they had, that women should be able to take a leading role in society and have the same education as anybody else, was really growing in Victorian society in 1873. It's also the year that Elizabeth Garrett Anderson was able to register as a doctor, the first female doctor in England and Wales in 1873. Sadly, next year they had a vote of the BMA that they wouldn't have any more women, and it was 18 years before the second woman to become a doctor in England was allowed to register with the British Medical Association. But there you are, that's doctors for you, you may say. Meanwhile, also in 1873, Britain's first female pharmacist was able to register. Another extraordinary change that, you know, people may not know when that happened, but it was the same time as this place was coming into being. People had a bigger vision for what society could be about, and the talents that were there that had not been engaged before. And if you want other 1873 things to put alongside this church, the railway sleeping car, first one of those, in 1873. Natural History Museum, the work began on building that in 1873. The Brunner-Mond Chemical Company, known to us as ICI, was founded that year. And most important of course, the Kennel Club. You're the same age as the Kennel Club. And being greeted by a much-loved dog around the corner, I'm sure you'd appreciate that very significant anniversary. But of course, what goes on in this place is informed and framed by the Christian story. Jesus of Nazareth, his coming at Christmas, his death, his resurrection, his wisdom, and his teaching. Everything was framed within that particular context. It's very difficult, though, on Trinity Sunday, because you can't really think of how to picture the Trinity. There's a story of the small boy who said he was going to do a picture, and the school teacher said, well, you know, what of? And he said, God. And she said, well, you can't picture God. She said, you can in a minute, you know? When I finish, you'll be able to. Quite possible. But actually, not many pictures work very well for the Holy Trinity. What you do see around the place, far more than you used to 20 or 30 years ago, is a particular picture of God, the Holy Trinity, by, it's a man called Rublev, and it's 15th century, and it was on a barn door in Novgorod for many, many years until the early 20th century. And now it's in a museum, and you'll be glad to know Mr. Putin has just given it as a present to his friend Patriarch Nikolai as a sort of thank you for backing him so magnificently during the Ukraine war. Apparently every time you move it, bits fall off. And that's why the art establishment is quite worried. This is the most extraordinary piece of Russian medieval art and really doesn't want to be moved around quite that way. But there it is. It shows God, the Holy Trinity, in the Old Testament. Because if God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he always was, they thought, in medieval Russia. So it shows Abraham in Genesis, in the book of Genesis, at the Oaks of Mamre. The idea is God has come down and receives hospitality from Abraham. And that's absolutely fundamental, the blessing of Abraham. Everything that unfolds after that in the book of Genesis. And what happens is Abraham is sitting there at the Oaks of Mamre, and two angels come down to sit with him, and you can see them in the picture. And you can see God the Son, because there's a sacrifice laid out on the table. God the Holy Spirit breathed through the whole thing, and looked at another way, there's a sort of circle that you're part of in the whole picture. It says that God is what God is for us and involves us in his life in a most special way. Some people see a sort of sign of the cross in the picture as well. God making his home in us, sealed by sacrifice. Well, it's very difficult to picture such things. Our words, even our pictures, fail to be as mysterious as God himself. But there's another window on the divine, of course, in a church building. In any church building, if you get used to how to read the code of what is what and where it goes, even a very bijou special and small one like this, you see the sign of Christ's cross. You see a place where the world is prayed for and where people gather in the power of the Holy Spirit to break bread and share wine. We are the body of Christ. It says so in the Bible. Each one of us is a part of it. St. Paul goes even further at one point and says, we are God's work of art. And I want to suggest that the real picture of God in this community is you people, actually. It is the community of people who follow Jesus Christ. And it's not only about what you do, it's the way that you do them and the power of love. But how does that work? Well, the clue is in Matthew 28. There's a mission statement there that Jesus gave his disciples on the day of his ascension that says how we visibly become an icon of God, the body of Christ in this community. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And we have all the authority we could need on earth to be what we need to be. We are to live out and teach others to observe everything that Jesus commanded us. Well, there are some very particular things Jesus commanded, like breaking bread, like baptizing new disciples. And actually, the one that we've never stressed in the same way, taking up the towel and serving others in Jesus' name. What he did, he said, when you see me do this, I want you to do this amongst yourself. Jesus did not command his followers to worry about money. In fact, he commanded his followers not to worry about money, just saying, and certainly not to bicker about things people fall out over fruitlessly. But he did tell us to do certain very specific things. Love one another as I have loved you, with self-giving love. Love God and love your neighbour as yourself. Go and baptise, washing away sin. Do to other people what you want them to do to you. Look at the plank in your own eye before you start sorting out the speck in somebody else's. Don't compete for the best places at parties. Start at the bottom of the table and you'll be invited to come up. Let your yes be yes and your no be no.
The rest comes from the evil one, says Jesus. Respond to need like the Good Samaritan. Share your resources. Heal people. Let your light shine out for other people. Don't hide it. Trade with what you've got to the uttermost, but for good. Don't base your life on a lie. Build your house on a rock, not shifting sand. Search for what really matters, like the trader looking for a pearl in a field, and be persistent. I don't think this stuff is terribly complicated, actually. I think we have this tendency to say, oh, it's all terribly theological and terribly complicated. I think any of this stuff, there's the faintest bit of doubt what he's talking about. We just don't do it very easily. He said, pray, talk to God, especially when nobody else can see you. I mean, break bread in remembrance, of course. Don't frame the things you do around what other people think of you. It's the things your Heavenly Father sees in secret that make you the person you really are. Friends, these are not discussion starters. These are the things that Jesus commanded us to do, to live out, and to teach. An invitation to a better way of life for all. They don't actually say an enormous amount about religion. They do say a bit about praying, and they do talk about what's in your heart when you take your sacrifice to the temple. But they don't include most of the things that people fall out and bicker around. They really don't. Observe what I commanded you, says the Lord. Go out and find the lost, the least, the lame, the hungry, broken people. Go out and take hospitality from other people as their gift to you. It's interesting, he didn't tell his disciples to start a party and invite other people in. He told them to go out in pairs and join other people's parties. It's a very different exercise, isn't it? Commend your message to the common conscience of all, says St. Paul. Bind up their wounds, love them, cherish them. Give freely. Judge not that ye be not judged. I really don't think there's anything unclear at all about that. So if we wish there to be an icon of Christ in this community, something that makes sense of everything in this building, something that makes the Holy Trinity more real to people, there's the simple mission statement. Look at what Jesus actually commanded us to do, and go and do it, and teach it. In his Holy Spirit, and the hope that brought us all here tonight, we have all the authority we could ever need to do the stuff that matters. Because Jesus does the stuff that matters through us and through you. Over to you. So we come at the bottom of page 7 to the Creed. We join in with Christians all over the world professing the vision of God that we've received in Jesus Christ as we stand, as you're able, to share together in the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things are made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism
the Spirit in a union with Christ. Let us pray to our Heavenly Father. Holy Father, you have created all things and made each of us in your own image. We rejoice in the beauty of your creation. We come before you in wonder and awe. We seek to be sensitive to your mysteries. We pray for places where your earth is exploited or marred, where your creatures are abused or misused. We pray for all who lack freedom or who are oppressed. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Christ in glory, risen and ascended, you have redeemed us by your love. You give us life which is eternal. We pray to you for all who walk in darkness, who cry out in pain, who feel beyond hope. We remember all who are rejected and are outcasts in our world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Spirit of God, breathing life into all, we give you thanks for our talents and abilities, and for the talents of those who built this church and who have led it through these 150 years. We pray that we and all your church may reach out in love, loving our neighbours as ourselves. We pray for all who minister, and especially for those who have ministered here over many years. We pray for the outreach and the mission of your church in this benefice and throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, Holy, blessed, and glorious Trinity, one in three, three in one, bind us together in unity, bind us together in love, bind us together with loved ones departed, bind us together with your saints in glory. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen. As you are able, please stand. Peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father. Peace from Jesus Christ, who is our peace. Peace from the Holy Spirit, the life giver. The peace of the triune God be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us offer one another a tactful and hygienic sign of peace. The offertory hymn number 426.
Thank you.
Lord, receive these gifts and our hearts in your service through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this bread to offer, which earth has given and human hands have made. For us it becomes the bread of life.
Blessed be God forever.
Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this wine to offer, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. For us it becomes the cup of salvation.
Blessed be God forever.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Holy Father, almighty and eternal God. For with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit, you are one God, one Lord. All that you reveal of your glory, the same we believe of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, without any difference or inequality. We, your Holy Church, acclaim you, Father of majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. Three persons we adore you, and one being and equal in majesty. And so with angels and archangels, with cherubim and seraphim, we sing forever of your glory. You are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory.
And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this wine, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of St. Mary, St. Peter, St. Paul, and all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honour be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever.
Amen.
Let us pray with confidence, as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We break this bread to share in the body of Christ.
Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread.
To this table, not because you must, but because you may, not because you're strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body.
We do not presume to come to this your table and ask the Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as our crumbs on your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
You are all invited to come to receive communion, if that's what you usually do, or to come and receive a blessing. When we're receiving communion, either I will be giving you the bread, the bishop will have the chalice. If you want to receive that from the chalice, that's fine. If not, please just indicate to me that you want it in tincting, and I will do that and give it to you, rather than you in tincting yourself. So
Okay, I'm going to do row at a time. Yes, so row at a time, coming forward, please.
Oh, no.
Almighty and eternal God, you have revealed yourself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and live and reign in the perfect unity of love. Hold us firm in this faith, that we may know you in all your ways, and evermore rejoice in your eternal glory, who are three persons, yet one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty God,
we thank you for giving us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, for giving of you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen.
I guess the notice is there are refreshments outside and the sun is there to enjoy it in. So do please stay and celebrate. And thank you to Maggie and Judy and everybody who's
brought
us. And yes. So our final hymn is number 497, Let All the World in Every Corner Sing.
To shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Amen.
The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
And the Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the holy and undivided Trinity, guard you, save you, and bring you to that heavenly city where he lives and reigns for ever and ever.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Amen.